couple of prayer requests regarding my upcoming ministry trip to the Pacific Islands. Nauru is the spot where we're going to be starting. Look that one up on the internet. You'll see it's an interesting place. My son is going to be my traveling assistant. We have a youth crusade in Nauru. Pray for him, that God would prepare him and give him insight as to how to share his testimony and open the word and speak to the youth of that island. But also a praise report is two of my friends have agreed to be my assistants. Dan Kirk is a minister down in Atlanta. He actually ministers to refugees in Atlanta, and he's going to be with me in the first two islands. And then my friend Steve Burnson from Jamestown has agreed to be my helper in the third island, the Solomon Islands. So I've got a team in place. We've got our tickets purchased. I ask you to continue to pray for the islanders as they're organizing. They are supposed to be sending out invitations wide and far and making arrangements for hosting them. And a lot of details on their end to take care of. But pray for them as they prepare for that. This morning I want us to think about how God has invited us to tap into his provision, to tap into his grace, to tap into his power, to tap into his mercy. And he wants to meet our needs. Sometimes he does so in a way that overwhelms us. Sometimes we think he should do something else. And we actually can get a little frustrated with God. So I want to encourage us as we think about what does God promise to do for us here? What does God promise to do for us there? What can we expect now? What can we look forward to in heaven? I think that God wants us to live now in victory and anticipation of greater victory. So Lord, help us. Pour your Spirit upon us. Guide my words. Cause your holy word to come to life inside of us. We pray. The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Isaiah. And as we read it, I want you to notice what God has done. What God has done. It's the 700 years before it happened prophecy describing Jesus to us. Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who has considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? They made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. What a glorious prophetic depiction of Christ's ministry. Bearing our sin. Being put to death in our place. Taking our iniquity upon himself. Paying the penalty that we deserved and could not pay, but that he could fully pay. What do we do with a phrase? Pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We live in a time when we want to be looking towards heaven, but we're also moment by moment, day by day, breathing and trying to live and trying to get up and function. We have physical needs now as well as eternal needs and emotional needs and others. So how do we interpret this term? By his wounds, we are healed. I think obviously we can think that it's got some eternalness to it and a perspective from eternity. By his wounds, our sin is taken care of. We praise God for that. But what about the here and now? By his wounds, are we physically provided for? Is there healing for our bodies in the here and now while we wait to the day we are ushered into his eternal presence? Let's let that question linger as we turn to our gospel reading for today. Four different verses Jesus spoke from John 10 and John 14. We'll start with John 10, verse 10, and then verses 27 and 28, and then John 14, 27. Jesus is speaking these words, and again, we're thinking about what he has done for us and what he's doing for us currently. John 10, 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or other translations use the phrase, and have it to the full. He goes on to say in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then 14:27. Peace, shalom, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Well, there's certainly things that cause people to be alarmed. There's certainly times when people's hearts seem to get all wound up, where fear takes over, where worry besets. But Jesus is promising that he's our shepherd and we know him and we follow him. He's promising that he has come to give us life and life to the full measure. And he's promising that he'll never leave us, and he's giving us this supernatural peace, peace that's now and peace that's forever. It's not a worldly transaction. It's a divine transaction. So therefore, we can hear his admonition and his invitation, let not your hearts be troubled. Be not afraid. So Lord, we need your help. We need your help to have your perspective so we can see things from your view, from your angle. These things that we sometimes worry about are small, and you are big. So we put our trust in you. God has done everything that we needed him to do. How then shall we respond? I invite you to turn to our epistle lesson for today. It's from the book of James, James chapter 5. Last Sunday, I read this last paragraph of James chapter 5. I'm going to back up a little further and get a little more of the context, a little more of the view of it. Notice that God, through this scripture, is encouraging you and me to have patient reliance on the Lord. You don't need to tell someone to have patience unless there's a situation requiring patience. So Scripture is fully aware that we're in need of this. He's encouraging us, urging us to tap into the Lord's provision for patient reliance on the Lord. But then he's also, in the context of this, recognizing the need for and encouraging us to live in authentic, supportive relationships with each other. There's no room for this Lone Ranger mentality. Do it myself, pull myself up by my own bootstraps. He is encouraging us to have reliance on the Lord and then living in these supportive, authentic, honest, open relationships where our needs are shared, our needs are met as we live in this true, biblical, Christ-formed community. James chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains? You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We are encouraged to recognize that difficult times can be faced and endured through patient reliance upon the Lord, remembering his promises, presenting our needs in prayer before the Lord, and secondly, by living in community with other Christ followers who are also living authentic, transparent lives, admitting needs, even admitting failures. Now, I know the gasps weren't audible, but they were felt. As we consider the challenge of living lives so transparent that we follow the scriptural admonition to confess your sins one to another. Here's what is true of us as cultural beings. We cover up. We hide. We put things out of sight. Our failures are things that we do all we can to keep others from seeing. And when we live that way, we live in a sort of a false front, and we are keeping ourselves from fully experiencing the healing power of God. By covering things up, we let them linger. By covering things up, we let them stay in their effect upon us. Scripture, God, the Spirit, is inviting us to live lives in reliance upon Him, but in true, authentic community, where even the things that we struggle with are brought into the light so they can be dealt with and overcome. The scripture here that is so often quoted just in this one little phrase is that there's healing for us. I firmly believe that, and we read that last Sunday, but by seeing the whole context, we see that there's healing for us as we live in these relationships of reliance upon God and in these relationships of authenticity with one another. Some of you are hurting by yourself. And I believe God is inviting us to open up to Him and to each other that we might receive His grace in a new and profound way. Last Sunday, I invited people to come forward and allow the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil. And that's an important step for people to take within the church community. There is a role for leadership in the church. The church elects people to be the leaders, and as they serve in that capacity, there's a hierarchical system of authority that God grants. Not that these people in themselves are better than anybody else, but there's a plan of God to have a congregation that lives out its faith together, and leaders play a role in that. And so we followed that scripture. And we will continue to live that out. If you have a need, you are invited to ask for the elders of the church to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And the promise there is that the prayer offered in faith will raise them up. God will heal them. But we would be negligent if we didn't also include the point that we're making today, that we do this in community, where we actually are praying for one another, where we actually are confessing sins to one another, where we're actually exposing the schemes of the enemy that keep tripping us up. One of the things I love so much each year about having the teen challenge men come, they come pretty open. They come quite raw. They come admitting their mistakes because they finally had to just fess up and say, I can't beat this addiction and these patterns in my life by myself. I need God and I need brothers in my life. I think that yearly reminder is so crucial. You and I also need to come to the end of self-reliance and move into a season of fully submitting and expressing our reliance upon the Lord and our need for each other. I think God has healing. God has provision. God has things He wants to do in each of our lives. He's inviting us to live scripturally. Live lives. Verse 16 again. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. But do we dare do this? Do we dare admit? There's danger. It's dangerous to admit your mistakes. The wrong person might hear them and then use them against you. The wrong person might be affected by your mistakes and walk away. The wrong person might use them to belittle you in the future. There is danger in that. And there's even the danger if you admit a sin, someone else might fall into that same sin. So we need Holy Spirit guidance. But yet we dare not live unbiblically. We dare not wall ourselves off. We must seek the guidance of the Spirit to enter into authentic relationship where sin no longer stays hidden and undealt with, but where sin is exposed, the schemes of the enemy are made known and dealt with. I've heard it said that the demons that whisper their attacks against us and their lies against us are like cockroaches in the kitchen. If you go in and turn the lights on, they scurry back into hiding. We don't need any cockroaches left skirmishing around in our kitchens. Let's do what we can to expose them. Let's do what we can to turn the lights on. And let's go ahead and get some poison too and spread that around. A little insecticide can help. What are we going to do so that we live lives of victory? This healing that God is promising us, I think it's eternal, yes. One day we'll be translated out of all the things that are causes of suffering in the here and now. One day that awaits us. But is it possible for us to tap into more of God's healing in the here and now? I've seen some really godly people suffer sickness and suffer injury and suffer things that we wish they weren't going through. So I cannot say that every time we follow the scripture, that every one of our physical needs is going to be met in the way we want them to be. Sometimes God's healing is on the other side of heaven. But sometimes there's healing and power and provision that God has for us in the here and now, and we never grab it. It's left there, offered to us, and we never reach out and take a hold of it. What if God has something he's wanting to give you? Some strength, some enablement, some provision, so that you might accomplish for him and for his glory and for his kingdom something that will make him more famous, something that will give you a sense of being right in the center of God's will and being used by him. What if he's offering something to us and we say, well, I don't want to be presumptuous, God. I don't want to grab something I'm not supposed to grab. And so for fear, we fail to take hold of. I think there's danger for us in saying, God, I don't want that. I'm afraid to ask for it because what if you don't answer it the way I want you to answer it? I don't want to be disappointed. But what if God is saying, trust me? What if God is saying, ask, knock? You have not because you ask not. So ask, seek, knock, and the promises of God's provision will be opened up to us. We submit fully to his will. We live in full reliance upon him, bringing our needs before him, but we also live in authentic, open relationship with the body of believers that God has given us, where even sins are confessed. And we pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God will raise him up. Let's pray. God, around this room right now, there are people who need to have a conversation. We ask that starting even right now, you'd enable us to live so open with you that it results in us being open with each other. We ask that the schemes of the enemy would be exposed, their power broken, their impact removed. We ask that the lies of the devil would be rejected because when they are brought into the light, they're so obviously of the devil. that they no longer have a grip on us. We ask, Lord, that we'd truly live biblically, that we'd not just trust you, but we'd live an authentic relationship with each other. And we ask, Lord, that you'd pour out your power upon us, that we could be like Job, who trusted you even though things were hard and had patience in the midst of suffering, and how in the end your will was revealed, your purpose made known, and your compassion and mercy revealed. We ask, Lord, that we would live with each other in such a way that when one is in need, we see it and we step in and we speak the very words of God and be the very hands of God to help. And we ask, God, that when sin is exposed, your grace would overflow all the more. We ask that you'd break off any condemnation that might come from us. And we ask, Lord, that we'd be so full of grace that hurting people are drawn to us because they know they'll receive your grace from us. And Lord, we ask for healing. We know it's coming on the other side, but we ask for your healing and your provision and your strength right now. We ask for our bodies to work in a way that fosters your glory in the here and now. We ask for this gift of healing. We ask that you'd use the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And we ask that the prayer of faith would save that one who was sick, and that you, Lord, would raise him up. And we ask that if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. We ask that sin's power be broken and God's power be released. We ask that we'd be a true body of Christ, with love for each part, with recognition of our need for one another, with a willingness to rescue those who have wandered from the truth, to bring them back, to save their soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We ask that we do so with so much grace and mercy that there would be a renewed sense of joy that floods our whole congregation. I'm seeing revival and awakening and healing of God. Lord, we ask for this to become an ever greater reality. May there be a flood of it across our community. Pour your grace upon us. Pour your power upon us. Pour your truth upon us. Pour your healing upon us. We ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.